It's a full moon. I came on the mic just to bury the beats, and now I'm ludicrous, I disturb the peace. And now I look at rappers like a herd of sheep, and when I look around, I get the thirst to eat. Throw rhymes like knives to the first of bleed. Speak under your breath if you're hurting me. Nobody burning me.
What's good, everybody, and welcome to Buddy Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and only Chris Thomas. For as you all know, after Dave's tragic passing 2.5 years ago, it's just been me here. Or was that his spirit? No, it's Broke Writer Dave. He's here.
I'm here, guys. I'm here.
It turns out that I've been talking to myself this entire time.
Right.
So we are at our penultimate versus battle, and through one reason or another, we had four in horror, but for some reason or another, we both gave each other paranormal movies.
Yeah.
Just kind of worked out that way. I guess if you're going off to an Asian country, you're going to be seeing some ghosts, because we're going to Thailand and Japan.
Yeah. And this was probably my first exposure to Thai horror.
Mm-hmm. Mine too. Oh. I think the only real Thai movie I had seen before this is a martial arts movie called The Protector.
Okay.
And that's about my only introduction into Thai movies. So this was a treat.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, I love Asian architecture.
Like architecture?
Both of these movies, yeah.
I'm getting more of an appreciation for the filming styles. As of late, we've been trying to expose ourselves to a lot more foreign horror type movies, and I'm getting an appreciation and kind of an idea of like, okay, Japanese horror movies tend to have like this kind of stuff in it. I've seen a little bit of movies from the UK tend to have another certain kind of thing. So it's all really interesting.
Yeah, I've been diving into some Filipino horror as well.
Ah, nice, from my neck of the woods.
Yeah, so...
Or my granddad's neck of the woods, anyway. I was like, me sitting here talking like I'm really deep into the Filipino culture. I know what adobo is, and I've had my share of ponce. That's about as far in a couple of phrases. But yeah. This is to see if I'm still in the running. You gave me the Thai movie La La Land.
Yeah. And you gave me Ringu, or as we said in America, The Ring.
So this
is a Japanese version that we remade like 3 or 4 years later after this one came out.
This one came out in 1998, and then
it came out in 2002.
So. I only know of it from the American counterpart and people making fun of it in the Scary Movie series.
But I did see on Tubi that there is a Ringu 2 and then a Ringo.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm probably going to watch that tonight.
And thank you, Dave, for... This is the first time I actually... actually used Tubi. I've never used it before. Tubi ain't bad.
Tubi's dope, dude. I love Tubi.
Tubi had both of these movies for free.
Yeah.
So.
You know, they have commercials. Oh, well.
So does Amazon.
Yeah.
You hear that, Shudder? I might be taking my business elsewhere.
Yeah, at this point, I have commercials with every streaming service because I do the lowest amount I could pay to get it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not bothered by commercials, though. Go ahead and get it.
I am tired of this unrequited love I have for Shudder and never being reciprocated with a offer for some kind of sponsorship.
Yeah, we've been trying for 2 years now.
But, I mean, I can bitch and moan about that all I want, or we can get to reviewing some movies here.
All right.
So who do you want to go first?
Oh, I don't remember who went first last time.
Neither do I. Last time was, I was able to snake it out because of agreed upon bore that was Speak No Evil.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
So how about since I took away that victory, how about you get us kicked off with The Ring or Ringu?
All right. So your choice, The Ringu.
Which I never saw the Japanese counterpart.
No. But by watching this, you realize that the American version practically stole from it shot for shot.
Yes. So we have to take that into account. Like, there were some things that the American version also might have... If you're American, you never saw the Japanese version, you might like it just because of, A, you don't have to read subtitles, and they incorporated more Americanisms to it. Yeah. But it was essentially the same movie. Yes.
Yeah. So it starts with... during a sleepover, two girls were discussing the urban legend about watching a video and...
Classic setup for a horror.
Yeah, and after you watch it, you'll get a phone call saying you're going to die in 7 days. And then they're just joking around about it, and then one of the girls ends up dying, basically. Because she actually seen the video 7 days ago.
After a little fake-out scare with the telephone.
Yeah, nice little fake-out scare where they're like, oh, it's ringing. Then I answer, it's girl's mom. And she's like, oh, my mom's going to be home in a couple hours. And then right after that, she dies.
Yeah, you don't see how she just gets off screen, pretty much.
Yeah. They do this fun little Japanese thing when someone dies, they kind of flash a filter on the screen over their face.
It really, if you guys have ever played Fatal Frame, it feels like that.
Yes, yeah. I was like, oh, that's fun.
A little shout out to some old Japanese horror games.
And the girl who died was a niece of a journalist named Riku?
Riku, something like that. R-E-I-K-O.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm butchering the pronunciation, but...
Yeah, apologies on my end, too. Just in general, because these are going to have different names. So if we butcher them, our apologies.
So she's a journalist, and she catches wind of the story.
Ooh, what a scoop.
Yeah, she's like, this is kind of interesting. Maybe I can look into this, see what's actually, you know, killing these kids.
I mean, I know it's my niece and everything, but what a story.
Yeah. Because also with that, I think it was the same night a couple died inside their car. You don't ever see them dying, you just hear about it.
Well, we do know that two of the girl's classmates died.
Yeah, in the car, and then another one died on a motorcycle.
Yes.
On that time frame. You don't see their deaths, it's just, you know, told to you through the narrative, and Riku also looks up in the paper and sees that it happened, and she's like, that's interesting.
It also feels like we were back into the Hellraiser series, and now we're following another investigative journalist trying to track down some stuff.
While she's looking for it, she ends up watching it, receives a phone call, convinced she's been cursed. She takes the tape, and she takes it to her ex-husband, Raiju? Raichi?
Yeah, his name is a little harder to pronounce. Oh, played by, like, a well-known Japanese actor who's in, like, everything over here.
He looks very familiar.
Let me get his...
Takayama.
Yes.
And she makes a copy for him, so he watches the copy. So they're just investigating this tape, and they realize it's in, everything leads back to this island. I forgot the name of the island, though.
You keep going. I'll wiki some of this stuff so I can... keep us on track with some of the specifics.
Yeah, so they kind of...
Oshima.
Izu is the place where the video takes place.
Oshima is the dialect in which the movie, or the ring tape is spoken. Oshima,
which I guess is a different type of Japanese dialect.
Yeah, probably just different location is different dialects, kind of like we have here.
Yeah, so... they end up taking a ferry ride to Shiyu, which, when they're on the ferry talking, I was like, so that's kind of why the ring takes place in, I think, Seattle and here. So they could use that same exact...
riding out on a boat kind of thing?
Yeah. And they find out the girl from the tape was part of some, psychological study for her ESP abilities.
Yeah, she had ESP and was, like... everybody wanted to interview her and all that business.
So they actually find the cabin she was in and see that her father is still there.
Yep.
And they ask him about her. He's like, there was no daughter.
Dun, dun, dun.
But the ghost kind of gives him like psychic visions of things that happened to her.
Yeah, yeah. I forget if that happened in the American version. Did they just get random visions or because it's been a while since I saw the American version.
And I have not seen the American version in years.
I mean, all I know is that the basic plot is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But,
I also get these random psychic visions, but from that, they saw that she did this demonstration where she was showing off her psychic abilities, and this dude was like, oh, she's a fraud, gets really upset. She used her psychic abilities to give him an aneurysm.
You always gotta have the skeptic.
Yeah, so...
so he died.
Yeah, he died. And that kind of scared everyone away from her. Once they get back to the cabin, Riku and Raichu find this crawl space. And then they get another vision where they learn that Dr. Kumu, her father, is the one who traps her in the well.
And famously, the ring of fame, the famous ring, is what she saw in the well.
As he was sealing it up, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think, as a concept for a horror movie, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
The reveal of what the ring is.
So they go into the well and start draining out the water to try to find her body. And then first it's Riku in the well pulling out the water, and then they switch places because Riku was so tired she couldn't pull up any more buckets, so they switch places.
I don't know, man. You wouldn't catch me going down that well. I mean,
that was some dirty looking water.
I mean, paranormal stuff or not, surely there had to be an easier way. First off, you know you have 7 days, so you can pretty much...
Well, she was at the end of her 7 days.
Oh, that's right. So she was on a ticking time clock. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they find the body, call the cops, father gets arrested. And you think all is over, right?
Man, that was years ago. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
And you think they broke the curse, but guess what? They did not.
No?
Well, Riku did. Because evidently, if you show someone else a copy of the tape, kind of pass it on.
Like the digital version of It Follows.
Yeah. So, Raiju, not so lucky. He gets offed at the end of the movie.
And that tape is still out there.
Yeah, and the movie ends with her taking the VCR and the tape to someone's house. I don't know who, but...
On the wiki, it said she was going to her father's house to show it to him.
Yeah. To hopefully try to save her son.
Yeah.
Who also saw the tape, yeah.
I didn't know why it was her father. Like, did I miss something about her father? Did they, like...
No, her father was just watching her kid.
Maybe she also felt some kind of way of, like, fathers killing daughters. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that kind of played a part in...
Maybe it's like he's lived long enough.
Yeah.
I need him to sacrifice his life for my son.
He would want this.
Yeah. And that is Ringu.
So, what did you think... I would say, how would you compare it to the American one? But neither of us have seen it in years.
I mean, it just felt really familiar from watching the American one years ago.
That's the only thing with these ones, kind of like when I saw The Exorcist, is that I knew a lot of the beats already.
Because you've seen so many Exorcist movies, yeah.
Yeah, so for this one, I also kind of knew, like, the major beats of it.
Yeah, but, I mean, all in all, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah. It's it was going to be interesting to compare these two movies because they're both paranormal movies and they're both, you know how I am with paranormal movies.
Yeah.
So it was going to be interesting to compare these two. Well, what did you think? You want to break it down?
So for technicals, I think the effects are done pretty well and they hold up fairly well.
I'll also say that the budget was, I believe, $1.5 million, if I'm not mistaken, for Ringu.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. I gave it a 7.1. I'm right there with you.
Okay. Now, story. That's where it gets kind of hard to grade.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and it'll be easier to kind of explain also my rankings for both of these after going over a lot of land, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty... decent story. Like, I was never high on the American version of The Ring either, so it being the same exact story.
Though it came first.
Yeah, so give it points for its originality. I'm going to go 6.5.
I gave it a 7 because a lot of times when I grade these things, I often intermix the enjoyment and story. So... certain criticisms I have to go, well, that's technically on an enjoyment level.
Yeah.
So story, I gave 7 because it's, compared to La La Land, which we'll get into, it's definitely slower paced.
Yeah.
Even though it's a shorter movie.
Yeah.
But it...
by like what, 25 minutes?
Yeah, it's about 20, 25. It's about a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
And so it feels slower paced even though it is shorter.
Yeah.
But it fit for the kind of movie that it was because it was also a mystery type movie.
Yeah.
So it's going to be that way. So I gave it a 7.
Okay. And then enjoyment.
This is where I went a little bit lower.
I think I'm keeping it at, I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
It's not a bad movie. Like,
no.
I'm not going to, like, instantly say I'm never going to watch it again. And there's probably a chance of where I go back and rewatch it. So.
For me, I gave it about a 6.4, just because it's a paranormal movie and it's not usually my cup of tea. The characters, and I'll get into it with La La Land. I don't want to spoil too much. I'll say I felt like these characters had a little more common sense.
Yeah.
Than what I'll get into with La La Land. And I said some of the enjoyment was a little taken away just because I already kind of knew the beats. But that's just me, and that's why I put it in enjoyment.
Okay. Now let's get into La La Land.
Okay, now I actually have a lot to say about La La Land. First off, now we're going to Thailand.
We're going to Thailand.
And we're separated from these two movies by about 12 years. This came out about 12 years after
2011, yeah. At least the names of this one are easier to pronounce.
Oh, yeah, I lucked out. You have the dad, the father, whose name is Thee, T-H-E-E. And he gets a new house in Bangkok. They left Bangkok.
They left Bangkok, moved to La La Land.
Moved to La La Land and not La La Land, which I keep wanting to say. In a new city, he moved with his wife named Parn, P-A-R-N, his daughter, Nan, N-A-N, and his son, Nat, N-A-T.
Yeah.
Okay, so first, a little bit of the movie. This one, unlike Ringu, where you get the first kill and stuff within the first 5 minutes, this one takes a good amount of time getting us started.
Sets up story plates.
Yeah, we got the dad's sprucing up this new place. He just moved, like I said. He's gotten a new job, and he wants to provide for his family, get him a new house. And the son is all for it. The son, Nat, he's like, yeah, this is cool. Daughter's not having it.
Yeah. You can tell a fair point on their relationship, yeah.
Check your cables real quick. You kind of sound a little garbled.
Am I coming in?
Yeah, you're coming all right.
Right.
And within the first 15 minutes, I already knew I was going to feel bad for this dad throughout the whole movie. And his daughter's not doing anything for my dislike of children.
No.
Because, like, just right off the bat. Now, you can understand if a teenage daughter doesn't want to move. She has friends, whatever. You can sympathize with that. But, like, the first thing that she's not just upset about that. She is, like, just verbally just, like, downing everything that dad did. Like, oh, house isn't even paid for. And, oh, like, so-and-so can afford to have a TV. Like, and within like 15, 20, I was like, I already hated this daughter.
Yeah.
Like, you, I had some sympathy for you, but you haven't done anything to make me like you.
Yeah.
Because the dad's trying. He spent so much time. You see him like sprucing the place up, trying to make it personal. And all he keeps saying is that he wants to have his family together.
Yeah.
He says, it's great to have this family together. That's for the first 15 minutes of the movie, and then things start to get a little strange. The town starts becoming noticeably strange. There's a creepy old woman in a wheelchair next door. Parn notices some bruised and abused marks on their next door neighbor's neck from the wife's necks. A family down the street. A body is discovered in the fridge. And there's just this lingering sense of unease around everything. Yeah. And the dad, Thee, he's like, all right, look, first off, don't tell the daughter that anything's she's just looking for another excuse to complain.
Yeah.
So don't tell her about the murder that happened down the street. Oh, and also while this is going on, we find out that Thee's mother-in-law, Parn's mom, doesn't like him.
Absolutely hates him, yeah.
Like, to a cartoonish extent.
Yeah.
That's all I kept thinking of. It was like, this is cartoonish, the way this mother-in-law does not like it. She's constantly saying how he can't provide for his family, even though he just bought a house.
Yeah.
And is saying he doesn't care about, like, his family, even though his whole motivation is trying to keep his family together.
Yeah.
And, all right, so... Go ahead.
They kind of like show it, but they don't really say it. It seems like his wife was from like an upper class.
You get family. That sense because
Thee was from it's like the poor boy.
Because the mother is saying how he's not good enough.
Yeah.
And how they had a child out of wedlock. The mother-in-law is basically saying, oh, you got pregnant and that's the reason why you married him, essentially.
Yeah, and like classism is very, it happens a lot in Asia, so.
Which
makes sense in this movie, yeah.
It makes sense in that aspect, but at the same time, it's like, all right, well, what do you want to do? Would you rather him not be a man and step up and marry your daughter and she just have a child out of wedlock? So where does your sense of, like, obligation start and end here? You just kind of hate this dude for no seemingly good reason. All right, so now at some points during the movie, some hallucinations start to happen.
Yeah.
There's at one point a security guard sees some ghost, which was kind of random. And
so it's like, this is what caught me by surprise, because at first you're thinking this is probably going to be like a haunted house movie.
Yes.
You're thinking this house, but no, it's the entire neighborhood.
It's the entire neighborhood, and this is one of my critiques of this is that it's not really explained, nor are they connected at all, really.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of this random stuff happening, but unless I missed something, I never heard of something of like, oh, Lada Land is known for cursing people, or this thing is going around making people crazy. It felt like a lot of unconnected stuff happening to me.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it all starts with the, I think that she's a Burmese.
She's a Burmese maid who gets killed that, like, down the street or a couple blocks away.
And that's what kicks off everything, so.
That's what kicks off everything, but even before that, you just see this, like, lingering sense of unease. You have a creepy woman in a wheelchair, so I'm like, okay, are all these people just going crazy or something? Or was this
development built on something that should have been built on?
Yeah, so I'm sitting there thinking that this is what everything's leading up to like an answer of some sort. No. But we'll get to it. So she's getting hallucinations, and the father is just trying to put on a brave face. He's even going to work, and you can tell that his boss is shady.
Yeah,
and he's just trying to hold it together.
Yeah, he didn't get paid when he was supposed to.
No, he didn't.
Okay, you'll get all your money at once. It'll be all right.
Oh, and also at some point, somebody randomly breaks in the house.
Yeah.
And, like, tries to steal stuff. Again, that happens and then it's never addressed again.
Yeah.
I thought that it was just the town going crazy. Like, you go into this town and it makes you want to, like, butcher your family or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, so, as the movie goes on, a couple of things. One, the more and more I see this daughter, Nan, the more I'm just hoping that she gets sacrificed to the movie gods so I can enjoy the movie more. And as the movie goes on, I'm starting to turn on the mom because she's doing things knowing that they're strapped for cash. Yeah. Like, she's giving money to the next door neighbor, the wife who she sees bruise marks on, which I understand, but at the same time, you know, what your husband's on, the kind of budget that your husband is on, and you just go into his wallet, take money out without even saying anything, and you just walk off and just give it to him. Like, hello, are you gonna tell me what the fuck you're doing? Like, just why are you giving hundreds of dollars to our next door neighbor for?
Right.
In addition, her old boss comes to visit her while the husband's at work.
Yeah.
And even I was getting a kind of vibe like, all right, this dude, like, I know you are close to some people you work with, but not to drive all the way to Bangkok or whatever like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You could tell he was, like, super into her, and that's why he's trying to get her back to work, like,
work for her or work for him. So she can be close and all that nonsense. And with Nan constantly bitching to her dad about how she doesn't like to live there, she wants to go back to see her grandma, and she's staying out late, even though her father says he wants her home by a certain time, and she doesn't do it, and the mom's not helping.
No.
The mom's, like, the first night that the daughter showed up at 1 o'clock in the morning, dad scolded her, said, you can't be doing this anymore. Yeah. Very next day, mom was like, yeah, sure, you can stay out late.
Right.
In the middle of all, and she goes with a group of her friends to the place where the Burmese maid was killed.
Yeah, into it.
Gets scared, sees a ghost, goes to the dad, dad doesn't believe her. Which, yeah. Who would?
Right, exactly.
You've done nothing but, like, moan and you'll...
Let me get the cat out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you have literally done nothing but complain since you got here. I would assume that you're lying just so we can pack up and leave.
Exactly.
And in a fit of rage, he takes his daughter back to the haunted house. It's like, look, there's nothing here, blah, blah, blah. She trips, falls, and cuts herself. Yeah. And I guess that's one step too far. She goes to boarding school, and she comes home on the weekends.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just feeling bad for this dad because, A, that wouldn't have happened if the mom, like, supported him and said, hey, no, you're going to be back home at a decent hour.
Yeah.
And so that happens. There's more hallucinations that happen to the point where they find out that, just more weird stuff happens to the point where the next door neighbor kills his whole family and then himself. Just another weird thing that happens. It was like the night before, or it was the night after.
You skipped over one of the hallucinations was a scene that caught me so off guard.
Which one was that?
When he gets fired from his job.
He gets fired from his job and he has to go start working at a local grocery store or mini mart.
And he sees that the wife's boss was there. And he goes into the room, grabs his gun, he turns around and shoots his wife in the head. And I realized it was a hallucination. I was like, what the fuck?
I think I might have missed that. I think I might have went up to go to the bathroom or something during that scene then.
Yeah, it was like right after her boss leaves, he comes home and he's like, right after he got fired, she's like, why are you here? He's like, I have a headache. He goes into the bedroom. He's looking at his gun. And he sees the bed not made. And the wife walks up behind him and he just turns around and shoots her in the head. And I didn't realize it was a hallucination at first. Like, goddamn. That was out of nowhere.
Oh, well, I'm sucks that I missed that. I guess I went to the bathroom at a scene where I thought was just like a whatever scene.
Yeah. No, I was like, okay.
All right, so all of that happened. Now he's working at a convenience store or a mini mart, 7-Eleven, something like that. And at one point, he confronts his next door neighbor about the money that his wife had given him, and that the fact that the son was and that the fact
the next door neighbor's son is named Golf.
Golf
took Nat, his son, to the haunted house, and the dad was not happy about it. So he confronts the next door neighbor. And they get into it, and then he throws the fact that his wife gave his neighbor's wife money in his face.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last straw was that the Golf kid locked his son in the closet and freaked him out. So that happened, and then the very next day, the bodies of his next-door neighbor were found mutilated, and come to find out, they had been dead for a while. You don't know when, it just said they've been dead for a while. Now, at this point, the mom's reaching her breaking point.
Yeah, she wants to go back to Bangkok. She's like, we were happy there. Obviously, we're not happy here.
So at this point, I'm like, all right. And another thing that happened was the next door neighbor had a cat that had a little camera on it. And for fun, they were like looking through the pictures. They're like, oh, what does the cat do when he's like out and about? And Thee sees a ghostly figure from the cat went into the Burmese house. So at this point, he sees that there's something weird going on. At this point, I'm like, all right, dude, I'm 100% on your side, but at this point, you got to swallow that pride.
Yeah.
Like, you got, because his whole thing is he does not want to go back to Bangkok because he can't stand to see the mother-in-law and have her look down on him the way she does.
No, he failed when he brought his family out. Yeah.
But I can understand that because his wife is doing nothing to help, she doesn't defend him at all to her mother. She just lets her mother talk shit about him, but doesn't at no point goes, hey mom, shut up, he's doing everything he can, he ain't dead, and he, you know what I mean, like, he doesn't have his back even with the raising of the kids, like, when, like I said, scolding the kid, and then immediately she's like, yeah, you can stay out late. Nan comes back to visit one of the weekends, and she's doing laundry. Some of the laundry goes over the fence, and she hops the fence over to the next door neighbor and sees mutilated faces over on that, and makes her go crazy. And now she's in the a mental hospital. Yeah, and Parn, the wife's like, "Yeah, this ain't it. I'm done with this.
I'm going back to Bangkok. You go back to that house since you love it so much."
So he goes home, and we're in the last 20 minutes here.
He takes Nat home. So wife's at the hospital with the daughter. He's at home with the son.
Yeah, and he's back home with the son. It was also alluded to that the son has been playing with the spirit of the dead kid.
Yeah, the next door neighbor, yeah.
And, oh, what do you know? Like, he goes to check on his son. Son's not there.
Yeah, he wakes up, son's gone. He freaks out. He calls his wife. He's like, "Hey, did you pick him up to take him to the hospital?"
She's like, "No."
So
he's back over at the next door neighbor's house.
So he instantly runs over to the next door neighbor's house. Which I thought this whole, like, this last, it's not the end scene, but, like, basically the end scene.
The last, like, 20 minutes, a series of events.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Me too. I thought that the last 20 minutes was the highlight of this movie.
Yeah, it did a really good job of building up that, like, intensity and paranoia.
And they had...
where you could kind of tell what was going to happen, but you're like, "I don't want this to happen. Oh, God. Oh, yeah."
And the last 20 minutes, you had a bunch of different types of shots and a legitimate fake-out kill. But the actual ending really blows.
Yeah.
So he's looking for his son, and it's thunderstorming. So it's like you got that strobe light effect going on. And what they did have, what my favorite between these two movies, my favorite shot between these two movies, and I thought, and it even had a little humor in it, because he turns around, he sees like this drawing that a kid made, and he turns around and he sees like a ghost in front of him of the little boy, but he like kind of shields himself with the piece of paper. He doesn't want to see the kid.
Yeah, because when the next door neighbor's son was killed, he was mutilated in a way where his face
was caved in.
Was split apart, like, vertically. Yeah, so...
so he... I thought it was funny. It just felt very funny, just, like, him just kind of putting it up, like, to, like, kind of shield himself.
Yeah.
And then the kid just slowly takes the people and just, like, tears it vertically down. I thought that
was... like, his face was cut.
Yes, like, his face was cut. But you don't see his face because it's, like, kind of blurred in the back. It's, like, unfocused. But that shot was my favorite shot.
So good.
And in a fit of being scared, he hears a noise. At the same time, you see his wife coming in. So you're thinking that, oh, no, the wife's going to bust in. He's going to shoot his wife. He shoots at this door, at the door where he hears the noise coming from. Turns out it was his son hiding in the cupboard or in the closet.
His wife busted into a different room. Like, you hear the shots fired. Like, you see the wife bust through the door, then you hear shots fired, and then you see that she's in a different room. And then you see that he's at the door where his son was hiding.
And you see that he gets shot. The wife comes in, sees the son shot, notices that he got clipped. He didn't get shot, like, fatally in the chest. He got, like, shot in the shoulder. He would live. The dad doesn't know that, though. He thinks he just murdered his son. Takes the gun and shoots himself in the head before his wife has a chance to say, "No, don't do it."
Which is such a...
shitty ending for him.
I think the movie would be better if it cut off right there.
Yes. And then...
it shows the wife with the two kids driving in the car, assumingly back to Bangkok. And she's just talking about good things the dad did.
Yeah, thank you for now having his back now that he's dead. You know, you could have been, like, talking to your kids throughout the entire time, telling them how great their dad is for trying to make everything work. But you just... let the daughter disrespect him. Let your mother-in-law disrespect him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead. They did this thing where it was trying to end it on a lighter note. I'm like, you can't have a heavy ending like that and then...
I would have much rather just gone the missed ending and just... I would have rather him actually kill his son and then he shoots himself and that's how it ended.
Or if it just ended with him shooting himself and that's it. That's all we got.
That's all you need.
If you cut off the last 45 seconds of this movie, it's better.
It's like, no, you can't do that and then try to have, like, some kind of, like, yeah, and your father was a great man. No, fuck you. No.
This hopeful music playing in the background.
With the daughter in the back seat who looks like she could give a shit less.
And then she starts crying. Like,
and that was...
La La Land.
La La Land. Now, me bitching about that, I actually have some good things to say about it.
Yeah, this is a very enjoyable movie. For the runtime it has, it didn't feel that long.
Yes. It did feel faster paced than the Ringu. But like I said, with Ringu, I think it made sense, the slower pacing.
Yeah.
This one, if you want, I can go ahead and break it down.
Yeah.
And I already said what my favorite shot was. Between both of these movies, my favorite shot does go to this movie for having that ripped paper thing. I thought that was just really, really cool.
Yeah, I just enjoy that whole last scene. So
in the last 20 minutes, I was like, okay, movie, we're picking up now. Where's this been hiding?
Awesome, yeah.
Where's this movie been hiding for the past hour and a half? So, technicals. I gave this one a 7.0, a 7.
Okay.
They have a lot of good subtle shots that I think work very well for horror.
Yeah.
But they also have a few jump scares that are given away by that audio mixing where you know something's about to be a fake-out jump scare.
Yeah.
With this kind of movie, it works. It was at its best when it didn't have that audio mixing, when it was quieter. So I docked it a few points for the audio mixing, but it does have a variety of different shots as well, which I thought were really good.
Yeah, I went 7.5. Like, there was a lot of shots I enjoyed. And, like, the lighting in the last scenes with the thunderlight going in the background. And then also, like, just, like, the effects of this movie were pretty good.
Yes. I will say on it.
Hopes for effects going in, but they do a really good job over there.
Yes, with technicals, it was surprisingly very well done. Story. Hold on, real quick. All right, story, I gave it a 6.2 because it's very good at endearing you to the dad, mother, and son, but they really want you to hate the daughter and the mother-in-law. It's yeah. Like for a cart to a, it feels forced, that hatred between the mother and the daughter. Like there didn't seem any sense of it being natural. Like it's just like you have to hate the father character.
Yeah.
The story is easy to follow, and at least it's not boring necessarily. Nothing like, not like other movies we saw. There's enough scattered around to keep you watching, and I do think that the mother-father team could have been stronger, even though I know it's a different country.
Yeah, I gave the story a 7. Like I said, I felt like this is very similar to like Amityville Horror, which is one of my favorite like horror, but it's like Amityville Horror neighborhood. I would have gave it a lot higher if they would have explained.
That's why
it's happening.
That's why I gave it a 6.2, because there was nothing connecting a lot of these things. It's just, oh, this, which a lot of times can work for a thing where you don't explain anything. But for here, it was like, okay.
I felt like, yeah, it would have been higher if it explained the randomness we just saw. But it's still a fairly comprehensible story. And it was pretty good.
And my enjoyment, I gave a 5.7 because I can only watch a man struggle for so long. This movie is downright depressing at times to me.
Yeah.
And it's the reason I don't get into movies like Cavalier that I had watched or Speak No Evil, where it's just I like this one more than Speak No Evil, but I don't like watching this man fucking struggle and then he ends up dying at the end. Now that's why it's an enjoyment rather than story, because I get it story-wise, but I was like, man, nobody has this dude's back. And at the very end, that ending, like, last 2 minutes, I can't really get behind. And I was just looking for an explanation. As I was just thinking about it, like, we see the security guard see some kind of ghost or whatever like that. I'm like, okay, what did that have to do with anything? Like, I thought we were following this thing. So they make it seem like it's this whole town, but it's really just this block, it seems.
Yeah.
So the fact that you weren't given any real explanation or why people are coming back as ghosts, or at one point when I was looking at the wiki, it said that the town is making people turn violent. I was like, not really. It just, there's only like two instances. Like, yeah. So the fact that they didn't go into any explanation like that and all the other stuff I said is why I gave it so more of a low score.
Yeah, it was 7. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I could see myself going back to this one.
Yeah, and it was your pick.
So I'm in a mood for foreign horror, yeah.
Yeah, and it was your pick, so you're going to give it a higher score.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was a pretty good movie.
I'm biased.
Yeah. Well, I already calculated all the scores, and both of us, we both gave Ringu a 20.5, so Ringu gets 20.5.
Ringu gets 20.5.
Yeah. In La La Land, I gave 21.5, and you gave it 18.9. Which comes to an average score of 20.2.
Really?
Yeah.
When I was looking at my scores and I was comparing these two, like, the score that I gave La La Land and the score that I gave them were only, like, 0.5 or 0.6 points apart.
Yeah.
Like, one was, like, 20 and the other one was, like, 19 point something.
Yeah, so it was close.
And don't get
0.3.
And there are instances where I did appreciate La La Land more than Ringu.
Yeah.
In certain instances, like that last 20 minutes, like I was going to give it a lower score on a couple of things, but then that last 20 minutes kicked in and I woke up and I was like,
20 minutes is some great cinema.
That last 20 minutes was also one of the reasons, like I would have given it like a 5, but that last 20 minutes bumped that up to 0.6. Yeah. And it bumped the technicals from like a 6.8 to like a 7.1 because they had a bunch of different kind of effects. They were like, okay, last 20 minutes, let's do a bunch of different kind of stuff. Strobe yeah. lights, different POV angles. Let's do some more exciting music. Let's do a fake out scare over here. Let's do a fake out ending over here. It was like, when that happened, I was like, geez, man, I wish they had a lot more of this going on in the middle.
Right.
But it was
the second one. I'd watch the second one. Just see if it explains anything.
And some of the audio mixing, like I said, was just nitpicky. There was like 3 or 4 instances where you have that tense music doing that slow build that you know is going to end in either a jump scare or a fake out. But I mean, that's nitpicky. That's horror movies for you.
Yeah.
This might have been the first one where the only reason we have such a close score is because you gave it significantly higher and I gave it significantly lower to the point where it evened it out. Because I think you gave it 7, 7, and 7, and I gave it like 6 point this, 5 point this, and another 6 point something.
Yeah, I gave it 7.5, 7, 7. You gave it 7, 6.2, and 5.7.
And that 5.7, that 5 point is purely just my own taste.
Yeah. All right.
But I wasn't upset with it. Like I said, I'd take that way over Speak No Evil.
Yeah. Got one more to go.
Got one more to go, and I'm feeling you were being generous just because you want to keep this interesting, but if you did, I appreciate it.
No, I really want to win because I came up with a great idea for next season, so.
All right, so let's give it our all in this one. I don't care if you pick one that you know is going to be good or one that you're just going to do random. Let's give it our all in this pick.
All right.
All right, so.
Spin that wheel.
Spin that wheel. I still haven't deleted any of this, so we might do a couple of re-rolls, but let us see here. Oh, and I think we have one more re-roll, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Right, we come up to a topic that neither one of us like, yeah.
All right, so let us go. I think this is the one that we constantly skip, so I'm not going to count this one because it's reboot again. And I think we get reboot every single time we spin.
Yeah.
We can either do this one or the one next to it. It's Man versus Nature, which is another one that I think we rolled last time.
Okay.
Or we could do the one next to it, Body Horror.
We've done Body Horror before.
Did we?
Yeah.
Which one do you remember?
I remember I picked The Fly.
I thought that was Mad Scientist.
Was it?
That was Mad Scientist because mine was Reanimator. But I'll spin again.
Okay.
I'll spin again and just delete all of this. Oh, man, we did do zombies, didn't we? We did, no, that was post-apocalyptic. I don't think we've done zombies.
We haven't done zombies, no.
I mean, I'll leave it to you whether we spin or not, because I know zombies aren't really your... you said you don't like George Romero. Well, not that you don't like George Romero, but he's not your cup of tea. I don't know how you are on just zombies in general.
Yeah, I've never been big on zombie movies.
Spinning again! Ooh, this will be interesting. Oh, I thought I was going to go to a different one. I put this one as kind of like a see what we would think about it kind of thing. And it was the most scariest movie that is not technically a horror movie.
Oh.
Or is that a little too hard?
Yeah, that's...
The one next to it was torture porn.
Yeah, spin it one more time.
One more time. And if it is something that we haven't done, we have to do it.
Yeah.
So, here we go. We literally just did foreign. It's all bringing us to this. Cabin in the Woods type movie.
Okay.
All right, we can do that.
Yeah.
I'll say Cabin in the Woods type movie or wooded kind of movie. Lost in the Woods type movie. Cabin in the Woods and Lost in the Woods type movie. How about that? That way we can have a good amount of variety. And I'm going to go ahead and say right now, no, we're not doing Evil Dead or Cabin in the Woods.
Well, we've already done Cabin in the Woods, so...
I was going to say Tucker and Dale already did that one. Yeah. There's only one that comes to mind, but I also said like Lost in the Woods 2, so you can put in movies like Blair Witch if you want. So Lost in the Woods or Cabin in the Woods. Evil in the Woods, I'll say. It's tough, too. Only thing I can think of is Cabin Fever. Or I could always spin again.
I'll leave that up to you. If you want to spin again, you can.
Oh, you said spin? Okay. Should I just delete all of these that I've... Alright, hold on. One second, everybody. We did space. We did slashers, yeah? Okay, I think I deleted all the ones. So now we have to do the be-all, end-all spin. Alright, now that I've gotten all the fucking ones that we did. Found footage.
Okay.
All right, now we're talking here. Found footage. Obviously, we're not going to do Blair Witch. Yeah. And I'll even say I won't even do the Hell House series because that's also found footage.
Yeah.
You want to do found footage / mockumentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going with Poughkeepsie Tapes.
That's good. That was one that's on my list that I want to see.
Yeah.
I don't want to do REC or VHS. I'll do one that we haven't talked about, and it kind of combines. It's been a long time since I've seen this one, and it'll be interesting to combine or to do these two. And we haven't talked about it. I'm gonna say Cloverfield.
Cloverfield, okay.
Cloverfield versus the Poughkeepsie Tapes in terms of found footage.
All right.
I'd say that'll be a fun one. I haven't seen the Poughkeepsie Tapes, although you say that Lake Mungo is a worse, more boring version of it.
Yeah. So if you like Lake Mungo, you should like the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Okay, and I don't know. Maybe I was hopping on Lake Mungo just because everybody's saying they liked it, but maybe if I give it a watch again, it might. I'll see what everybody's talking about. Maybe it caught me on a good day, but yeah, this will be fun. After how many re-rolls was that?
What re-rolls?
What re-rolls? I edited it to make sure that we didn't have those re-rolls in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I honestly, when you started saying 7 and 7, I was like, well, there goes my win. Good job, Dave. I didn't think it was going to even out that way. I was like, I guess I hated it. I didn't hate it, but I guess I was hating on it enough to bring it down a little.
Yeah.
But it was still better than the – we still give better scores than Rotten Tomatoes, who gave it like a 43. I saw 43, yeah. And I was like, it's better than a 43.
Right.
When I saw, I think it came out to be about a 63, 64 on my rating scale. I was like, that seems about more appropriate for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good.
But
thank you all for listening.
Yeah, I'm still alive.
Yeah. Have a good week, everybody.
See ya.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at BodyBagPod and on Instagram at BodyBagPodcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.